Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Well, we have been doing a teaching here, a series entitled The Healing Techniques of Jesus. And there are 19 individual cases of healing we see in the Word of God. Now, of course, we know that Jesus did more than 19 healings. But we're talking about individual cases where the Bible gives us details on the healing. And so we've covered a whole bunch of them. So far, we've covered the nobleman's son. We covered Peter's mother-in-law, how she was healed. The healing of the multitude, the leper, the paralytic, the lame man at Bethesda, the man with the withered hand, the woman with the spirit of infirmity, the centurion's servant, the madman of Gadara, the woman with the issue of blood, and that's where we are right now. I mean, just tons of revelation here in this healing of the woman who had an issue of blood. And it's over in Mark, the 5th chapter. And we pick it up here in verse 25. Now you remember we started originally in verse 21. When Jairus had come to Jesus asking for him to come to his home and heal his daughter who was at the point of death. And then as Jesus was going with him, the Bible says in verse 25, now a certain woman who had a flow of blood 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Notice that. It says she had suffered many things from many physicians. Today, we would say that she suffered many side effects from the medical treatment that she received. Now, we know this woman, when she came to Jesus, she was completely healed. Which means she wasn't just healed of the blood disorder, but she was healed of all the side effects that medical treatment had inflicted upon her. You know, and today, I mean, they'll tell you straight up, straight out. You know, if you take this medication, it'll cause blindness, deafness, dumbness. It'll cripple you. It'll maim you. They'll tell you all the kind of things, the side effects that these things will have. And, cause nausea and headaches and all these terrible things. But there's good news for those who come to Jesus. Jesus not only takes care of the disorder, but he takes care of all the negative side effects brought on by medical science. And that's exactly what happened to this woman. She was healed of all those side effects as well as the blood disease that she had. Verse 26. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So this message is a good message for folks that have only gotten worse and haven't gotten better. There's still hope. Thank God when we come to Jesus, it can all get turned around. Then verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, we've spent a little bit of time talking about the importance of the words we speak and that faith must be expressed through, number one, words. We have to speak what we believe. It's not enough just to believe it and keep it in our heart. Remember, we talked about Mary and how she kept all these things in her heart. All the words that she received, she kept them in her heart. And as a result of that, as the years went by, both her and the rest of the family, the rest of her children that she had after Jesus was born, they all didn't believe in Jesus. They all had lost their faith in him. until after the resurrection, after Jesus had appeared to them, and then they understood who he was. But they didn't have faith. They weren't followers of Jesus throughout his life. And you think about that. That's his own family members. But it all can be traced back. Their unbelief can be traced back to their lack of speaking, confessing the things that God had spoken to them, the things, the revelation that God had revealed to them. And so few people have realized the place confession holds in the scheme of things. The Bible says, I think it's Psalm 107, that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death, now you think about that. You know, a lot of folks say, well, life and death is in the power of God. Yes, but God has given us authority to be able to speak either life or death over our lives or over other people's lives. And so Jesus said, of course, over in Mark 11, he said, you'll have whatever you say. So if we're speaking negative things, we believe negative things, we speak negative things. You know, the more you speak negative things, the more you're going to believe negative things. And then the more you're going to speak it. And so at some point, we got to hit the brakes. And we got to take hold of God's word and say, nope, nope, I'm not speaking that. And catch ourselves and change our confession from a negative confession to a positive confession. So important. And as we continue to maintain a positive confession, we'll be continuously strengthening and fortifying our faith. But if we keep speaking negative things, what we're actually doing is yielding to the devil. Because the devil is behind every negative confession. Every negative statement, if it's negative, if it's full of defeat, then it's of the devil. It's inspired of Satan. And that's a pretty dangerous thing to think that, you know, you're speaking words inspired by Satan. But just going off, you know, just going off on a tangent and just being negative. Well, just know you're yielding to the devil. Just know you're giving Satan place. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you're releasing death over your circumstances. You're releasing death over your life. And man, if we just get a hold of this and really, really took it seriously, really believed what the Bible teaches, I think we'd be a whole lot slower to speak. Right? The Bible says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. We got to just put things in slow motion. Because it's a whole lot easier to slow things down than to put it in reverse and try to go back and fix the mess that you've made. You understand? So we need to watch our mouth. A strong confession coupled with corresponding action on the word of God brings God on the scene. Hallelujah. Think about that. Confessing the word of God, maintaining a strong confession of the word of God and acting upon that word of God, it brings God on the scene. It brings God into manifestation. It moves God from the unseen realm into this physical realm. And that's where we need him. I said, that's where we need him. And the Bible says over in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, how do you draw near to God? I mean, he's everywhere. He's all around us. Well, yeah, but where specifically is he all around us? Can you see him? Can you feel him? No, see, he's in the spirit realm. So when it's saying draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, what the Bible's telling us is, draw near to God in the Spirit where he is. Draw near to God. Get more in the Spirit. Flow more in the Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So speaking his word is getting yourself over in the Spirit. The more you're speaking the word of God, which is spirit, you're getting yourself in the Spirit. You're confessing yourself. You're talking yourself into the Spirit. And that's drawing near to him. That's how we draw near to God. Draw near to him by speaking the word of God. Speaking his word. Confessing his word will get you over in the spirit where he is. And what's going to happen? Then he will draw near to you where you are in this physical realm. He'll show up here in the natural. He'll begin to manifest in your life. And that power of God will manifest and it'll change things in this physical world. If we'll maintain the proper confession. Again, it works for the negative. You can confess a bunch of negative stuff and you can just manifest Satan right on the scene. You can manifest demons in your life. Just speak a bunch. I just feel like it. I'm telling you how I feel. I just can't control it. Got to tell how I feel. I got to say how I feel. You can control it, but you're not willing to. Bible says a fool vents all his feelings. So we don't want to be a fool. We want to be faith folks. Say, I'm a faith folk, not a fool. Yeah, so we got to catch ourselves from confessing a bunch of negative things, speaking a bunch of negative things, which will manifest negative things into the physical realm of our life, and we need to maintain a positive confession. Can you say amen? Amen. There needs to be a continual confession of our redemption from Satan's dominion. We need to constantly be talking about how Jesus has delivered us from the power of Satan. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. I mean, I don't know if there's a day go by that I don't sit there and just thank God for it and confess it and speak it. The devil's under my feet. You know, maybe not those words, but always confessing what Jesus has done for me and how the devil is defeated, how no weapon formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Glory be to God. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. By his stripes, I'm healed. That's just something you say all the time. Whether you might not feel sickness. Everything might be going great. It might be sunny outside. You feel good. That doesn't matter, man. You still confess. You still maintain a good confession. And then you'll be able to continue to dominate the devil, which is to rule over the devil, rule over sin and sickness, disease, because sin and sickness, all these things are synonymous with the devil, Satan. Sin, sickness, and Satan, they all are in the same package. And so we're to rule over them. And we do that by the words that we speak. Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold fast our confession. Let's hold fast to our confession. This isn't something we just say once in a while. This is something we hold fast to constantly, continuously. Our confession of Satan's defeat is Satan's defeat. I mean, Jesus defeated the devil, but you understand, you have a part to play to reinforce that defeat. You got to enforce that defeat on the devil, and you do it through your confession of what Jesus did for you. Remind the devil, you're defeated. Sometimes he forgets. He's got a very short memory, the devil. So we need to remind him of things. He needs your help. He needs your assistance. A positive confession dominates circumstances, but a vacillating confession won't. Vacillating, you know, you're just kind of going back and forth. You're confessing a good thing, and then you slip out of that, and you slide over here into a bunch of negative things, and then you go back over here into a positive confession. We need to hold fast. Stay with it. Stay with it. Well, I have spoken positive things. I just don't understand. Maintain it. Hold fast to it. Don't vacillate. Go back and forth between godly confession, a positive confession, and a negative demonic confession. Can you say amen? All right, a lot more weeks. I could preach on words until the cows come home. Hallelujah. And I never had cows, so they probably never come home. So I could just keep preaching right on through eternity about the power of words. So I'm just going to hit the brakes right there. Trust that you got it. Somebody say, I got it.
Got it.
Amen. I got it, and I'm going to do it. I had somebody the other day I was talking to, you know, And I'd say something, they'd say, I know. I said, I know you know. I'd say something, they'd say, I know. I said, I know you know. But you got to do what you know. So they said, I know. And I said, no, say I do. I do. I want to hear I do. I don't want to hear I know. There's a whole lot of folks that know a whole lot, but they do a whole little. I know, I know, I know. I don't want to meet with the pastor. I know what he's going to say. I know. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do what the Bible says? I know that. I've been hearing that. Are you doing it? Well, once in a while. So now I got to keep repeating myself. So let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. I want to hear I know it. I want to hear I do it. I do it. I do it, Pastor. I do it. Verse 28, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, we discussed last time how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Many of the Jewish people began to understand, you know, that Jesus was the Messiah, which is a Jewish word for anointed, the anointed one. The Greek word for it is Christ. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one. What was he anointed with? Well, Acts 10:38 says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus did the things he did because he was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that even though Jesus has risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, that power is still available today. Because over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said right before ascending to the Father, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me into the uttermost parts of the earth. So that anointing is still available to us today. In fact, just this past week, that young couple, Aaron and Jessica, that just got saved and God's touching their life, they came up here a little early yesterday before prayer. I shared some things with from the Word of God about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, laid hands on them, and I mean the fire of God came on them. I mean, they felt the tangible fire of God, the power of God came on them. They were overwhelmed with the power of God, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God. That power is still available today. Still available for all of us today. And that's what flowed out of Jesus. We noted that the power that was on Jesus, that he was anointed with, was inactive until the woman's faith contacted it and activated it. And so we said faith is like a switch, you know, like an electrical switch. Got all the power in the house, but then it's when you hit that switch that you activate that power to turn on the lights or turn on a fan or turn on whatever it is you want to turn on. And faith is like that. It's a spiritual switch that activates the power of God. Remember, all these people were thronging Jesus and touching Jesus, but that power was not flowing out of him until this woman touched him. She hit the switch. She wasn't just touching the wall. You know, you can go over to the light switch and you can go all around the light switch, you know, and just rub that wall. Sit there, I don't understand it. I saw Charlie walk in here before and he went over to the wall here and he just did something like this and the lights came on. I can't seem to get the lights on. And you're just rubbing the wall because you're not hitting the switch. Faith is the switch. You got to get in faith. It's not enough just to feel the wall. So close, though. You're so close. Doesn't matter. It's not going to change a thing. You can get that close. You're just rubbing around the wall. But if you don't hit the switch, it's not going to be anything that's going to happen. Right? So we don't want to just be happy with being around faith and hearing faith and rubbing up against faith and talking about faith. Come on, somebody. And touching on the subject of faith. No, we want to know how to hit the switch. Turn the switch of faith on and release that power and ability of God that we need in life. A lot of folks just content hanging around the switch, touching the wall. I don't understand, it's not working for me. Hit the switch. You're missing the switch. Can you say amen? Now, as we've looked at, you know, we've gone through these various different examples of healing in Jesus' ministry. The most prominent method Jesus used to get people healed was the laying on of hands. That was the most prominent way that he got people healed. However, there's another way. People were healed through Jesus' ministry, and that was by not just him laying hands on them and touching them, but by them touching him. Hold your place in Mark. We see over in Matthew an example of this. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, and in verse 34, it says, "When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well." Isn't that interesting? Remember what this woman said. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I'll be made well." Well, now here, a whole multitude of people are begging to just touch him, just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it, as many as touched the hem of his garment, were made perfectly well. So we see that the power is transmitted, this power of God is transmitted through contact. Whether it's through, again, Jesus initiating it through the laying on of hands, or people reaching out and touching that power. Notice it says it's when they touched him. They wanted to touch him. Remember, they believed in him. They all came to him, but it wasn't enough. They wanted to make contact with him because they understood he was a carrier of the power of God. They understood that he was anointed with the power of God. They had faith in the anointing that was upon his life. They had faith in the power of God that was upon his life. And so they understood that they needed to make contact with it in order for that power to flow into their lives, into their bodies, and heal them. Now, John G. Lake, great man of God, had said, and he was a man that walked in a tremendous anointing, walked in tremendous power, saw many people healed, delivered. He said, "Electricity is God's power in the natural realm, and the Holy Ghost is God's power in the spirit realm." So just like electricity works in the natural realm, in the same way, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, works in the spirit realm. There are certain laws, rules that govern this power, the power of God. Just like there are rules and laws that govern the power of electricity in the natural realm. You know, even over in Romans, the 8th chapter, hold your place in Mark 5, over in Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 2, it says, For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is talking about spiritual laws here. There is the law of the Spirit of life. You know, the Spirit of God, again, He is a law. He's referred to here as a law, the law of the Spirit. So in other words, when God does something, it isn't haphazardly done. It isn't just something He just does loosely and He'll change on you. He'll do one thing one way one day and do something different another day that works completely different than God. God is, we could say, as predictable as the law of electricity is predictable. How many of you know the law of sin is predictable? If you commit sin, you are going to reap death. Unless, of course, you confess your sins, and speak the word of God to counter those sinful actions and overcome that law of sin and death with the law of the Spirit of life. Thank God, we're in Christ Jesus. There's another law working for us. But it's a law. In other words, it's an absolute. It works every time you work it. Just like the law of gravity. You know, we never have to wonder about the law of gravity. We know it works. Right? I mean, I don't sit here and go, should I use the stairs or just go down this way? Maybe I'll just float over to there. If I step off the platform, I'm going straight down. Right? Because it's a law. It works every time. It's not once in a while. That's how the Holy Spirit is. He's a law. He's not something that works once in a while. Well, you never know. Sometimes people get healed. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes there's a miracle. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes this. Sometimes that. No. He's a law. And whenever you work that law, it works every time you work it. So that law of gravity, we know it's there, so we don't do stupid things. And as we understand about the law of sin and death, we don't say things like, well, God knows my heart. And then we just go ahead and do things that are contrary to the word, and we sin. And then we justify it and say, well, God knows my heart. He knows what I really meant by it. And everything. You don't do stuff like that. When you understand, you're tapping into a law that's going to release or activate death every time you contact it. And if you do contact it, you have such a fear of God and you understand these laws that, man, you're going to run over here and get in Christ Jesus by confessing your sins and release the law of the Spirit of life, which will nullify those actions of yours and undo the works of the devil in your life. Because this is a higher law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a higher law than the law of sin and death. It sets you free from the law of sin and death every time you work it. It's not based on feelings. We're so feeling ruled, you know. It's like we feel love for someone. We don't feel love. We feel excited. We don't feel excited. God's not like that. He's a law. And He will be the same today as He was yesterday.
Yeah, but it was the 105th time. I just feel like God's a million miles away. He's not.
Plug in. He'll work just the way He worked on the day He got you born again. He doesn't feel anything less towards you today. If He did, it wouldn't matter anyway because He's not going by His feelings. He's a law. He's a God of absolutes. So we want to plug into Him every day. Draw on that power of God. The law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ, the law of the Spirit of life. How many people know healing and life go together? Just like sickness and death go together. Sickness, disease, that's just death. That's something trying to kill people. It's death at work. Well, when healing is at work, life is at work. So the law of the Spirit of life is the law of the Spirit of healing. The law of the Spirit of healing. It's a law. So you can be healed all the time if you know how to activate the law. God set it up that way. And you just look at the creation. You can see this is how God is. I mean, there's no guessing about if the sun's going to come up tomorrow. We know the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow you're going to see the sun come up. Are you with me? The sun will come out tomorrow. Amen. We understand. God created this. They absolutely, you could set your clock to it. They could tell you exactly at 7:02 in the morning. I don't know if that's right. Don't quote me on it. But 7:02 in the morning, the sun will rise. And at such and such a time, at 6:40, the sun will set. I mean, they know exactly. They know exactly when it's going to be a full moon, a half moon, a quarter of a moon. They know when it's going to be a high tide, low tide. That's how God set things up. It's predictable in the natural. It's the same way in the spirit. The law of faith, the law of the spirit of life. It's predictable. Yet religion has painted this picture of where you never know. You just never know. God does stuff that he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. Nobody knows what he's going to do next. So you just kind of hang on, baby, and just know it's all going to turn out okay. Not if you're plugging into the law of sin and death, it ain't going to turn out okay. It'll turn out okay if you keep plugging into the law of the spirit of life. So there's the law of sowing and reaping. It's predictable. You sow this, you're going to reap that. There's no question about it. So just like God is in the natural, he is in the spirit. The things of the natural came out of the unseen. The things and everything that's seen came out of the spirit realm. So everything that we see is predictable here tells us that God is predictable even in spiritual things. So we don't have to get weird, flaky, and mystical about it. We just have to learn the laws. Just got to learn his ways. And then we just plug into it all the time. Say, no, bless God, this is how it works. I'm going to stay in faith, and by faith, I'm going to plug into. I'm going to activate the power of God in my life and walk in that power of God in my life. So we see here that Jesus' clothing absorbed this power that he was anointed with. Remember, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, these people here over in Matthew's account, they all begged that they might just touch the hem of his garment. Not even touch his hem, just touch his clothes. Because that anointing had become absorbed into his clothing. We could say his clothing had become storage batteries for the power of God. Of course, we see an example of this over in Acts chapter 19 with Paul the Apostle. Acts 19, let's go there. And again, Jesus now, he's risen from the dead, he's in heaven, but here's Paul the Apostle. Here's a man just like you and I. But you see, he's anointed with the same Holy Spirit. He's anointed with the same power of God that Jesus was anointed with. Over here in Acts chapter 19, and we'll pick it up in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. By the hand of Paul. You know, Mark 16 tells us, Jesus told the church, he said, believers, those that would believe on him, will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you have any believers in the house? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Do you have an anointed hand? Yes. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, that means the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You've been anointed with the power of God. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. So notice that there were people that apparently couldn't get their loved ones or friends who were sick. They couldn't get them to Paul. And so they understood that this power can be stored in clothing, just like it was with Jesus. And so they would bring handkerchiefs, they would bring aprons, they'd bring whatever they could to him for him to lay his hands on it. He would lay hands on those things. It was brought from his body. Well, the primary part of his body was brought from was his hands. And they would bring it. Once he laid hands on them, he would transmit that power of God into those cloths. Isn't this awesome? Come on. This is amazing. transmit that power into those cloths, handkerchiefs, what have you, and then they would take them to people that were sick and diseased and had demons. And they would lay the cloths on them, and the power that was in the cloth would drive out, would come out and go into the bodies of the sick people and drive out the sickness, drive out the disease, drive away the demons. So we know that this anointing power is stronger than demons. Isn't this amazing? So you can see right there that all you have to be is a handkerchief for God to use you. How many of you know that the handkerchiefs are in known danger of being puffed up in pride? I am such a spiritual handkerchief. Look how God uses me. Look at the anointing that flows through me. Have you seen the way people fall out under the power and the demons go and how they get healed? I'm a beautiful handkerchief. I'm a wonderful Hanes, made by Hanes. I'm fruit of the loom. I'm an amazing handkerchief. Hanes is always better than the fruit of the loom. Have you know the handkerchief has no danger of getting in pride? Nobody's going to look and go, oh, handkerchief. You're amazing. You're amazing, handkerchief. How do you do the things you do? You must fast and pray. You must spend many days in the monastery. No. God puts the anointing on you. He puts his power on you. That doesn't make you great. That makes God merciful and very great. Right? So, like I said, you don't have to be any more spiritual than a handkerchief for God to use you. Paul would lay his hands on these cloths, the power would go up, people would be set free. Just like it was with Jesus. There's another example of this. You know, we're looking at the Gospels. We go over to the New Testament. We see an example of it. You know, the Bible says that about two or three witnesses, let every word be established. This is a principle in the Word of God. This power is tangible. It is transferable. It can be transmitted. Notice over here in 2 Kings. Hold your place in Mark 5. 2 Kings chapter 13. In verse 20. Then Elisha died. Now we know Elisha, he served under Elijah for many years before receiving from God through Elijah a double portion of the anointing of God that was on Elijah. Now Elijah had a tremendous anointing on his life. He was anointed with tremendous power. He was the one who called fire out of heaven several times. God used him in many amazing ways to perform many miracles. And now Elisha has received a double portion of that anointing. Elijah's gone up in a whirlwind to heaven, and Elisha now has died. Isn't that interesting? That Elijah, who had half the anointing that Elisha had, went up in a whirlwind, but Elisha, who had the double, died. Isn't that interesting? Verse 20, then Elisha died and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man. So here's another man. They had buried Elijah. Now some time had gone by and there was some Moabite invaders that had come into the land. And so apparently there were probably some Israelites here and they were burying a man. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. They didn't have time to bury him. They had to get out of there. So they just took him, put him in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. I mean, Elisha isn't even alive. But the power of God, the anointing of God, was so strong on his life that even after he had died, the residue of that power was still in his bones. It was still there, just like it was in the handkerchiefs and cloths that came from Paul's body, just like it was in Jesus' garment. It was in Elisha's bones. So that when this dead man touched the bones, power went into his body and raised the man from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the power of God. How many of you know this wasn't just something God decided to do? God was thinking, you know, let's just do something cool. You know, God just had this feeling, you know, let's raise this guy from the dead. Let's do something. It'll really sound cool in the Bible. And why did this happen? Because just like there are natural laws, there are spiritual laws. And this man's physical body connected with this power of God that was there. And the residue was so strong, it raised the man from the dead. That's a powerful anointing when you don't need any faith for it to work. Neither Elisha or the dead man had faith for this to work. Do you understand that? This is 100% glory. This is 100% anointing. The more anointing that is present, the less faith is needed to be able to receive what you need from God. Now, if there's no anointing present, no anointing in manifestation, then you got to use 100% faith. Thank God we can. Just take God at his word. Believe the word of God. No power, no feelings, or nothing. Just take God at his word. Bam, receive what you have need of. Stand fast in your faith. And it'll work for you. But then sometimes there's an anointing that's present. I believe when we come together at church, there's an anointing upon me to preach. There's an anointing that's in this place. There's an anointing upon you to receive the things God has for you to receive. There's a corporate anointing. The more people that are focused, the more people that are, attentive to the word and attentive to what God is doing and are here with expectation and the drawing on the gift of God, they're releasing their faith, the stronger that anointing will be. Just like there's a reason why the Bible says over in Acts chapter 2, when they were in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the power of God came in there. But remember, Jesus told them first, now tarry and wait. They got into a place where they were waiting and got into one accord. They got into unity. They all got into faith. They were all waiting in expectation. Man, the power of God came, shook that place. I mean, the more focused we all are, the more we can get in one accord, all get into faith, the greater the anointing of God that's going to be present in this place. That should stir everybody up. Bring your supply. Add your faith. Your being here is important. Don't short-circuit the power. Man, add your faith. Don't throw a bunch of doubt and unbelief in there. Throw your faith in there. And there'll be more power. So it'll be easier for everybody to receive more. It'll be easier for people to be healed and delivered. And words of knowledge are given. And people are, you know, their infirmity or something that they're dealing with is called out by a word of knowledge. Man, there's a special anointing on that. I said there's a special anointing on that to help that person receive what they're maybe struggling to receive by faith alone. Faith and the power. Sometimes you need faith and the power. And so, you know, you shouldn't be condemned about that. I mean, just sometimes, you know, sometimes your faith is stronger than other times. Sometimes your faith is stronger for some things and weaker for other things. And then all of a sudden that word of knowledge comes, man, and your faith can only get 50% of it, and then here comes the other 50% in the power of God. The anointing of God provides the other 50%, making it 100% ratio, and you receive the healing or whatever it is you're looking for from God. We want that 100% ratio, whether it's all faith or 20% faith, 80% anointing. See, that's why it was so easy for so many people to receive healing under Jesus' ministry, because there was such an anointing. He had the Spirit of God on him without measure. And there's measures of anointing that we receive. Measures of anointing. And as we're faithful, that anointing can be increased upon our life. And so, but there's measures of anointing. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. What kind of anointing had Elisha had? I mean, it had to be amazing. He had an amazing anointing upon him that it raised this dead man up without any faith in 100% anointing. Bam! I want times like that, don't you? That's what revival is made of. When there's a strong anointing, when God is in manifestation, when the glory of God is filling the place, people walk in, man, oh, you just feel it. I mean, you can't help but get revived unless you're rebellious. But I mean, you just come and you're in neutral, and my God, you're getting healed. You're getting delivered. You're getting right with God. You're running to the altar because that anointing is so strong. And the anointing is strong in this place. You know, we're, for the most part, you know, most folks here have adapted to it. And it's become something that's kind of normal to them. But every time new people come in here, they walk in and go, oh, they're feeling God. They're feeling God in this place. Well, let's keep increasing that. Let's increase our faith. Praise God. Every time we come together to hear the word of God, our faith should be growing. And if our faith is growing in the glory of God, the anointing of God, our expectations are rising up, then man, that anointing, that corporate anointing is getting stronger in this place too. And eventually it'll just sweep people in here. People will drive by Gene Snyder and go, oh, I got to get right with God. I got to get right with God. I don't know what it is about that place. I got to get in there. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to do a bunch of things to try to stimulate people's flesh and attract them in here. We got a puppet show Tuesday night, and we got Bozo the Clown on Sunday afternoon, and we're going to have movie night, and there'll be popcorn in the pew. I'm determined. No, we're going to do this thing by the power of God. People are going to come here because God is in this place, and he's so overwhelming. They can't resist. Anybody that's got any kind of heart for God, they just can't resist. They got to come here. They'll come from everywhere. They'll come from all over the world. They'll buy plane tickets to come here just to visit, to be here for a week. Because of the glory. Because of the glory. Because of the glory. Hallelujah. People getting healed left and right. Using anybody's hand. Amen. You be faithful around here, we might give you a little name badge. And you can walk around. Have the legal right to lay hands on people. Bless God. Go out in the parking lot because not everybody can get in the building. You can just go out there and start laying hands on people. We'll get them all straightened out. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for that power. Thank God for that power. So, we see that the healing power of God is a tangible substance. It's a tangible substance. Tangible means capable of being touched. Perceptible to the touch. That's this healing power of God. Remember, Jesus felt that power go out of him. He felt it go out of him, and she felt it go into her. They felt that transfer of power. It's a tangible substance. It can be stored. It can be stored. It is transmittable. It is transferable by the touch or by the laying on of hands. I've had a couple experiences, you know, where I remember one time I went to the hospital to pray. Some lady had asked me to come up and pray for her mother. So I went up, and the mother's lying in bed, and I ministered to her. And this other lady, she's on the other side of the bed. So I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I said, let me take your hand. So I took her hand, and I prayed for her, and I said, in Jesus' name, and I released that power of God into her. And when I did, the woman, the daughter, on the other side of the bed was holding the other hand of her mother, and she jumped back and went, oh! Oh! And she just started crying. She said, I felt something go into me. Come out of your hand, out of mama's hand. It's the power of God. That power of God went right into mama, went right through, and just like electricity, that woman, she had her hand on mama's head, and that power transferred right over to her. God's feelings had nothing to do with it. It was a law. The power of God was there, the power of the Holy Spirit was there, and it was transferred. There was another time, there was a gentleman, he was dealing with physical issues, and his wife was very concerned about him. And she said, have him pray for you. Talking about me. She wanted me to pray for him. He was like, I'm all right. There was a little bit of pride there, you know. Probably a lot of pride there. And so he was like, I'm all right. She's like, no, have him pray for you. So she was in faith that if I prayed for him, something would happen for him. So I said, well, let me pray for you. So I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him. She was behind him with her hand on his shoulder. When I prayed for him, and released the power of God in the name of Jesus, she jumped back. She went, oh, I felt that. And she just started crying because she was overwhelmed. It was God, you know. She was just overwhelmed by it. And she said, I felt it. He's like, yeah. He didn't feel a thing. She was the one in faith, and it was skipped right over him, went right to her. That power of God is transferable. It's transmittable by the touch. So it's tangible, can be stored, this power. It's transmittable. It's transferable. Faith is what activates it. Remember, Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. And remember, she touched him. So her touch was a touch of faith. That faith touch released the power of God. She had faith in the anointing of God that was upon Jesus' life. Glory to God. Are you stirred up about the power of God? I just wanted to take that opportunity to spend a little extra time on that. Stir ourselves up concerning the anointing. Concerning the anointing God. We want the anointing. We want an increase of the power of God. The word is number one. Because when there is no tangible anointing in manifestation, there's always the word. And that's why the word is the most important thing. That's the number one thing you got to have your faith in. Have your faith in the word of God. Because that's with you 24/7. That's working all the time. 7 days a week. I mean, it's you never have to wonder about it. It's always there. You can plug into it anytime you want. So that's number one. But then also, we want to believe God for the anointing of God to increase in our lives individually. You should be believing God for the anointing of God to increase upon us, Gene and I, as your leaders. Because we want more of that anointing to be in operation. Increase for a corporate anointing, a greater corporate anointing, so that it gets to the point, man, people are just getting healed, delivered, they're getting saved, and it's effortless. It's effortless because that anointing is just so apparent. It is so in manifestation. Can you say amen? So we want it all. We're going for it all. The word and the spirit. The word of God and the power of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.